There's an important word in the Bible, specifically an important word in Proverbs, the word righteousness. It's used 78 different times in the book of Proverbs, either righteousness or righteous. For most of my life, I did not understand the word righteous, and I missed out on a very special word, and I missed out on embracing this word and understanding what it could do for me in my life, particularly in my Christian faith. And it was all Robbie Smith's fault, quite honestly. Robbie Smith and I went to school from kindergarten clear through graduation of high school. Robbie Smith was the type of kid that if you were in gym class and you jumped 5 feet during the long jump, Robbie would say, "Well, I jumped 6. If you said, "Well, I just got $10 for my allowance," Robbie Smith would say, "Well, I just got 15. If you said, "Well, my dad's the strongest man in Pennsylvania," then Robbie Smith would say, "Well, my dad's the strongest man in the United States." And with Robbie Smith, it never ended. He was like this all the time. By the time we got into junior high and high school, there wasn't a whole lot of people that wanted to be around Robbie Smith. You see, I made a mistake. I thought that Robbie Smith was being righteous. Here, I didn't know Robbie Smith was being self-righteous. I looked at his life and said, "Oh, I don't want to be like that." On certain days, I did act like him, but I said, "I don't want to be like that. I don't like people who act righteous." Sometimes I think we even confuse that word sometimes. When we talk about pride and humility, we confuse that all in and think that righteousness is the same as the word self-righteous. So for a lot of years, I considered righteousness like this dirty word that I didn't want to be. Just listen. You don't need to try to chase these down in your Bible. I'm going to read them quick. But listen to just a few places where Proverbs talks about this special word, righteous. In Proverbs 3:33, it says, "God blesses the righteous." In 10:6, it says, "Blessings crown the head of the righteous." Proverbs 12:13 says, "A righteous man escapes trouble." 13:21, "Prosperity is the reward of the righteous." Proverbs 15:9 is pretty good. "The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but He loves those who pursue righteousness." And Proverbs 21:21, "He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." Everywhere the Bible talks about the word righteous, it's a good thing. It's not the way I used to process it. And now that you know that, I'd like you to do something this morning. I'd like you to take 30 seconds. I'd like you to introduce yourself to someone else in this room. And I want you to tell them that you, too, are a righteous person, because now you know it's a good and acceptable word. It might go something like this: "Hi, my name's Pastor Todd, and I'm a really righteous person." That's your assignment. I'll give you 30 seconds. If you have to move around, do it. Go. So how'd that feel? The Bible says being righteous is good. So, but wait a minute, I have a feeling, and you can show me with a raise of hands, how many of you, for some reason, that just felt really uncomfortable and not right? Raise your hands. Whew, thank you. It's okay that it feels that way, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I was in my mid-30s when I finally understood that righteousness was a word that I needed to understand a little bit better than I had understood it up until that point. I found myself one day at a diner with two friends. My friend Jamie said, "Hey, will you meet me at a diner for lunch? I want to introduce you to my friend Bill." And I said, "Sure, you know, I'll show up." And we showed up for lunch. And Bill was the kind of guy that was a straightforward kind of guy. He just says what he thought. He was kind of like a man's man. He grew up in the auto body industry in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, so he was a businessman. And as he sat across the table from me, he just looked me directly in the eye and he said, "So do you know why you're here?" And I was like, "Well, Jamie said that you and I probably have a lot in common and he just wanted to get us together. We're both his friends." And he says, "No, that's not why we're here." And I'm like, "Oh, maybe this guy doesn't want to be my friend, you know?" And he looks me in the eye, and he says something that makes me really uncomfortable. He says, "I told Jamie that if he would bring a righteous man to me, that I want to have a conversation about Jesus Christ." I was like, inside, I started to like want to crawl under the table and think, a righteous man? Keep in mind, I'm thinking of the Robbie Smith label. I'm going, "Jamie, I'm going to kill you. You think I'm like that? I'm like the self-righteous person? And now this guy's sitting across from me." And Bill goes on to say, "All my life, I've been seeking to be a righteous person. And I've been reading the Bible lately, and I found out that Jesus Christ is righteous, and people that love Him are supposed to be righteous. So I told Jamie if he could bring someone to me that was righteous, we would talk about Jesus Christ." Man, I was at first really thrown for a loop, like going, I'm really uncomfortable, just like you guys were, shaking someone's hand. "Yes, here's the most righteous man that Jamie knows." And inside I'm going, "Jamie, you know that I'm just a messed up guy. You know, I'm not righteous." Think back to the verses I just read. If you've been reading along in Proverbs and you remember any of those verses about righteousness, the truth is that here was a guy sitting across from me, wasn't raised in church, wasn't sure who God was or anything about how the Bible worked, and he understood the word righteous, and I didn't. Because of the way that friendship started off, I had to admit and start to think through what righteousness meant. Was I okay being considered a righteous person or not? Those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. If the Bible talks about the goodness of righteousness and the way righteousness represents who God is, His character, then we have to admit together that we have some things to learn about this word righteous if we're going to embrace the word and if we're going to grow in it. There are four principles that we need to know about the word righteous in order to embrace the word and understand it and use it and pursue it. Principle number one, righteousness is not a dirty word. Righteousness is a beautiful word. It's a wonderful word. It's mentioned 542 times in the Bible, 78 times in Proverbs alone. Righteousness is a word God loves. It's a word that describes His character, a word that we're supposed to be. Let's go to Proverbs 29:6. If you're doing the weekly reading, the daily reading, today is Proverbs 29 chapter for our reading. And in verse 6, we read this. "An evil man is snared by his own sin, but a righteous one can sing and be glad." This is just a representation of the types of things that are said about the word righteous in Scripture. A righteous person is always associated with being a good person, a person approved, accepted, and desired by God. The righteous person is often contrasted with a wicked or evil person. So righteousness always is speaking of something good. Here's my definition for righteousness. I don't think I invented it. I probably heard it somewhere else. It's really simple. Righteousness equals rightness with God. Righteousness equals rightness with God. Righteousness is such a big word, a powerful word, that it contains all of the good things that we find in God. Righteousness is really the definition of who God is. Here's some synonyms for righteousness. If we're trying to understand the word, these are some words that can replace righteousness, but not completely fill the shoes of who righteousness is. Here we go. Just, lawful, right in character, legal, acceptable, conscientious, credible, ethical, holy, honorable, innocent, moral, noble, pure, reverent, spiritual, trustworthy, upright. The list can just keep going and going and going. You getting the idea? Righteousness is a good word, not a dirty word. Proverbs even tells us how to spot a righteous person. It tells us over and over. Here's just a few things that I pulled out. If you're looking to see a righteous person, look for someone who is blessed by God, someone who has control of their tongue, someone who has joy, freedom, someone who's cautious in building friendships, someone that hates evil, someone who's prosperous, a lover of justice, generous. A righteous person rises above adversity. They are strong, bold. They have a glad heart. They detest dishonesty. They love wisdom. They hate what is false. They are thoughtful. I pulled those just directly out of Proverbs, out of many of those 78 verses. You see, it's always good stuff. Here's the antonym, or the opposite, of what righteous is. Bad, corrupt, dishonest, immoral, unfair, wicked, and evil. So if I was a lawyer and had to make a case that righteousness was a good word, a beautiful word, a word we should embrace, it's really easy because there's not one place in the Bible where righteousness is used in a negative way. Here's principle number two. Righteousness is not a flashy word. Righteousness is a heart condition that leaks out without intention or pretense. Righteousness is an inner attitude that leads to an outward action. Let's look at some words by Jesus on what he said about righteousness. Matthew 6, verse 1. You want to turn there with me, or it'll be on the screens. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, right in the beginning of the New Testament. Jesus said this about righteousness. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And this is what I mean by saying that righteousness is not flashy. Jesus himself said, be careful. Don't do your acts of righteousness in a flashy way or to be seen by men. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. I was really tempted. I almost, for this point, put righteousness is not an outward word. But you know what? That wouldn't be right. Righteousness is an inward word because it's something that describes our heart. But according to Jesus, it's something that should be being lived out. Jesus didn't say, don't do righteous acts. You catching that? He said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness. As in meaning, he's expecting that we will. He says, don't do it before men to be seen by them in a flashy way. See, that's probably, hopefully, why many of you are uncomfortable shaking someone's hand and saying that you're righteous. Because you understand that principle already, that there's something about righteousness that isn't flashy. It's not about bragging. It's not about bringing attention to yourself. In fact, as soon as you tell someone that you are righteous, you ain't. Okay? It's like humility. If you got to look someone in the eye and say, I'm righteous, it's like saying, well, I'm the most humble guy you'll ever meet. And you go, you just blew that one. It's the same with righteousness. So righteousness is not a flashy word, but it's a very important word. Here's principle number three. Righteousness is not an affordable word. Righteousness is not an affordable word. Righteousness is a gift from God through Christ Jesus. We're going to take a look in Romans at Romans chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. It'd be great if you find that, Romans 5, 17 through 18. And I'm going to attempt to walk you through this. This is one of the verses that Jordan read for us this morning already. For if by the trespass of one man, Adam, that's who the one man that's said here in this verse is Adam, death reigned through that one man, and how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. That's pretty wordy, but it's very important theology for us to grab a hold of. When we look at this verse, we discover that sin entered the world through one man, through Adam. That sin then infected us as a human race. All of us that come down through that lineage are born with a sin nature. So if you've ever heard that expression, that you're born with a sin nature, it goes back to some of these verses where it explains it. So sin came through Adam. Now look what the verse says. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Paul's explaining to us that the remediation, the correction of the problem of sin, the redemption of the sin problem that separates us from God, comes through one man also, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, how does this Jesus Christ repair the problem of sin that separates us from God? It says right in this verse how it happens. We have to receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. This verse is telling us that Jesus Christ is a gift of righteousness to us. Jesus Christ's death on the cross was our substitution. He died in our place. The way to reconcile ourselves with God is to accept this gift of righteousness. Let's go back to that scripture one more time, please. You see that? The gift of righteousness came through Jesus Christ. Look how the verse ends. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass, that means the sin of Adam, was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. The reason that I say that righteousness is not an affordable word is because righteousness cannot be purchased or earned. It's a gift from God. Now, I know that if I told all of you guys this morning, hey, on the way out of church, we have a table set up in the lobby. We've got righteousness for sale. If you've got some cash on you, in fact, maybe we'll set up a credit card machine, and we're going to sell you some righteousness out in the lobby. Now, that sounds so ridiculous that none of you would believe me, and you'd probably want to chase me off this platform. However, we kind of treat righteousness that way a lot of times, I believe, because we still are believing that the way that we get to God or the way we have a relationship with God is to do enough good things. In other words, be more righteous. We wouldn't take our wallet in the lobby to buy it, But we get confused because we read all these verses in Scripture that says, be righteous. And then we read the verses that tell us what kind of blessings happen when we're righteous. So we get a little bit confused. Well, the bottom line is this. No one can become righteous by doing a bunch of good stuff. That's why I say that righteousness is not an affordable word. Principle number four, the final principle, righteousness is not a negotiable word. Righteous is not a negotiable word. God sets the standard for righteousness, and His standard is absolute perfection, purity, and holiness. So righteousness is not negotiable. How many of you are familiar with that TV show, American Pickers? American Pickers. We're getting really religious now, aren't we? Okay, a lot of you have seen it. First time I saw it, I watched about 12 hours of it on one of those marathon things. It was the holidays. I was at my parents'. I was like chilling out. And for some reason, like the whole day went by and I'm like watching American Pickers. I don't know what that means about me. You can decide that. Two guys go out in the countryside of America. They're antique dealers. Their goal is to find people that have a bunch of junk in their basements, in their barns, in their attics. They try to get onto people's property, see what they have. They're pretty straightforward. They tell people, hey, we're antique dealers. We'd love to see what you have. We'd love to offer you something and buy something from you. Well, the show's kind of entertaining because sometimes, they'll drag out this rusty piece of junk and they'll say to the owner, hey, how much would you want for this? You know, most of the owners are clueless, but, you know, they're going for big money. So they'll say, $2,000. I'll sell you that rusty junk for $2,000. And then the American Picker guys say, we'll give you 50. You know what I mean? Then they start going back and forth, trying to negotiate a price. That's great in business. That's great. It's fine for American Pickers, but it doesn't work when we're talking about our faith and the subject of righteousness. All of us, I would like to say, hopefully I'm not stepping on your toes too hard, all of us work with God like the American Pickers try to do when it comes to righteousness. You see, the Bible's clear that God says righteousness is absolute holy and absolute purity. But then as believers, we see it and we believe it, but then when it comes to living our lives out on a daily basis, we kind of try to start negotiating. Pick any subject you want. We talked about the use of the tongue last week. Let's use that as an example. I see in Scripture, it tells me that I'm not to lie and I'm to be truthful all the time. Yeah, I believe that. I see it in Scripture, no problem. So I get into my daily life with my family, my coworkers, and there's situations that come up where I start to kind of go, well, Lord, you don't really mean that I'm supposed to be honest all the time in these situations. I mean, look at the idiots that I'm walking through life with. I've got to, you know, kind of distort the truth once in a while. So I convince myself that I don't always, every time, have to control my tongue. So I come back to God and I negotiate. Well, God, you know, compared to most people, I am really honest. So I'm going to be okay with kind of hitting 80%. We convince ourselves that God will negotiate with us. Let's take another issue, one that we talked about from the platform, sexual purity. I see what the Bible says about sexual purity, but then, you know, I'm living in my world and the whole world around me is pretty much way off on what God's saying about this, so it probably wouldn't be that bad of a deal if I snuck some pornography in once in a while, or, you know, if I did some other things. I mean, really, God, compared to the world, that wouldn't be so bad. So we go back to God and we try to renegotiate that. And that's not the half of it. the really nasty part of this is where we start believing that God's okay with us adjusting the righteousness bar in our lives. If you could grab a hold of that one thing today, that would make a difference in your Christian walk. It's made a difference in mine. We've got to get at God's feet and say, Lord, we have tried to mess with your standards and purity and righteousness. Forgive us and help us keep that bar set where you want it. We can't negotiate with God on that. Look at Ephesians 1 with me. Turn to Ephesians, if you can, in the New Testament. This one's not going to show up on the screens. Ephesians 1. There's many verses that are a lot like Ephesians 1, but I chose this one just to show us that it actually says in Scripture what God wants us set for the standard. Verse 3, Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Man, we love that verse. Sign me up for that kind of Christianity. God, pour on the blessing. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Wow. Okay, God. Well, I like verse 3, but verse 4 sounds a little more difficult. Look at Matthew 6:33 with me, the first part of this verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Yeah, I messed that one up a little bit. Don't blame that on the guys upstairs. That one's my fault. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 5:6 puts it this way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. We can't negotiate righteousness. Now, as you're thinking about these principles, maybe some of you have realized that there's some tension here. The tension point is, well, Pastor Todd, you're just talking now about, you know, keeping your eye on the righteousness bar and living righteously. And we see in Proverbs how a righteous person is supposed to live. But you just made a point really clearly. You showed us Scripture that said righteousness is a gift. So which is it? Is righteousness a gift? Or is righteousness something that I have to be working towards? It's both. It's both. I want to tell you a little story that I hope will cement this into your minds, how both can be happening at the same time. When I was 17 years old, I was working in a machine shop. I was an apprentice machinist trying to get my journeyman machinist card, meaning that I would go from an apprentice in training to being a machinist. I had 3 years of schooling in as a machinist, and then I needed to do around 1,200 to 1,700 hours of hands-on work underneath a mentor who would apprentice me. I was somewhere about three-quarters of the way through that process. I don't know, maybe I had 800 hours in, 900 hours, I don't know. My mentor, or my guy that was overseeing my program, his name was Bill Miller. Bill Miller was not my boss. It was a really neat relationship. We were kind of peers. Bill Miller was probably in his late 40s at the time. He was an excellent machinist. He really knew his stuff, and it was his job in the shop to kind of guide me. So one day he comes to me. He hands me some blueprints. He says, here's the next job you're going to work on. And I open it up. And as I'm looking at it, I'm discovering that this project is way more difficult than anything I've ever seen or tackled before. I started to get quite nervous, to be honest, because I wasn't even sure how to begin. So I got to thinking to myself, and I said, man, Bill must have made a mistake, because this is something that's obviously work for a machinist, not a machinist apprentice. So I went to Bill, and Bill always had these black glasses that he wore clear on the end of his nose. And he looked at me, and he wasn't a very emotional guy. He says, "What do you want? I gave you your job." I said, "Bill," because I didn't wear my glasses like that at the time, "Bill, you made a mistake. I can't do this job." Bill said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, if I take this job, I'm probably going to ruin it and scrap it." That's what we call it in the machinist world. We're going to scrap the project. What was there was worth thousands and thousands of dollars. Okay, there's already lots of work already done to this thing. And if I made a mistake, thousands of dollars would be lost. So I said, "Bill, you can't give me this job." And he said, "Well, I just gave you the job. I want you to go do the..." Oh, I forgot. "I just gave you the job. Go do the job." Well, then I tried another angle. I said to him, "Wait a minute, you're not getting it. I am not a machinist yet. This is obviously work for a full-blown machinist, so you need to take this job back and give me something easier." So Bill looked at me again, and he said, "Look, maybe you haven't seen your time card lately, but they put on there that your classification is a machinist. So you already is one, now you better go act like you is one." I said, "Oh, wow, I am not getting out of this." However, I went into the boss's office, knocked on the door, said, "Excuse me, I can't do this job that Bill just gave me." And the boss says, "Why not?" I said, "Well, I'm still in my apprenticeship program. I'm not a machinist yet, and until I'm a machinist, I don't know how to do this work." And he says, "Oh." He says, "Well, actually, you are a machinist. Last week, I bumped you up to that." And I said, "Well, wait a minute. I still got a lot of hours under my apprenticeship." He said, "I know. Consider it a gift. You're getting a raise, and now you're a machinist. Now get to work." Well, I left the office saying, "Wow, now I'm a machinist. I could see on my car, machinist, classification, they changed it." And I felt pretty good then about trying to tackle this job. Maybe you're ahead of me already on this. This is exactly the type of thing that God does. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, God stamps us with the word righteous. Just like I got stamped with the word machinist. Not because we've earned it, but because we've accepted Christ's gift of righteousness through His death on the cross. So God stamps us righteous, and then through His Scripture and the Holy Spirit, He tells us, sort of like what my boss did, "You're righteous already in my eyes. Now go live it out. Go live it out." So is righteousness a gift? Or is it something I continue to work on? It's both. See, righteousness has a couple angles to it. One's called positional righteousness, meaning that God, in one instant, in one moment, stamped us righteous because of Christ's shed blood. The second part of that is called progressive righteousness or progressive sanctification. That's where we say, "Thank you, Lord, for this gift of righteousness. Now, as one of your children, I'm going to go and live like Jesus Christ lived. Not because I need to earn that stamp of approval anymore, but because of your great love for me inspires me to want to have that relationship with you." Righteousness is not a dirty word. It's not a flashy word. It's not an affordable word, and it's not a negotiable word. I wonder how the Lord could change your life and continue to allow you to keep moving forward in Him if you would embrace this word righteousness with full understanding and then look to accept the gift and then live it out in your life. There is no greater decision you could make this morning than to say, Pastor Todd, I think differently now about this word righteous. I want to be righteous. Of course, understanding, right, that it's not flashy. So it's going to be okay to live as a righteous person. Jordan's going to come out and lead us in a song. It's a song that's been playing in my mind and heart over the last couple weeks, ever since we sang it a couple weeks ago. As the song is sung, I would encourage you to either sing along or let the words sink in and listen to what God's trying to get through to you today about the word righteous.
This morning, I'd like you to worship in whichever way is most comfortable for you. So if you'd like to stand, I'd encourage you to stand. If you'd like to sit or kneel, just worship in the way that you can best connect with God. Take my heart and form it, and take my mind, transform it, and take my will, conform it to yours, to yours, oh Lord. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me. So take my heart. Take my mind, transform it, and take my will, conform it to yours, oh Lord. So take my heart and form it, and take my mind. Transform it and take my will, conform it to yours, oh Lord, to yours, oh Lord. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me.
Is that what you want? Is that what you hunger after? Proverbs says that we're to pursue righteousness. In fact, righteousness is such an important theme in the book of Proverbs that all the other issues that we talked about this month, wisdom, the tongue, pride and humility, our sexualness, and all these other issues. Once we line it up under this understanding of being righteous, these other challenges of life start to fall in line. Are you going to stumble? Are you going to fall? Probably almost daily in this pursuit of righteousness? Yes, you will. Thank the Lord, it's a gift. But he asks us to keep walking in it. Will you stand this morning as I have a closing prayer? Father, we thank you for the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we can know in our minds for sure that you've already see us as righteous and pure and holy. Because you see us through the lenses of Christ's blood. Father, I pray that you would put a deep desire within each of our hearts to pursue righteousness, to love you more than we love anything else in this world. Father, as we stumble our way through life, we know that you're a good Father, that you are loving. We understand, Lord, that there is consequences in life for sin, but ultimately, Lord, you cover that sin through Jesus Christ. I pray that in this church, righteousness would never be considered a dirty word. Lord, may we embrace it and pursue it like nothing else. In Jesus' name, amen.